turkey. You can't expect me to quit, do you, baby? Cold turkey. Feelings don't go away so easy. Just a little more time, and I swear I'll leave you alone. But tonight I got this Jones coming down. It's 3 o'clock, and I woke up with the shakes. So I called you up for the remedy.
Silly.
I know I woke you, but get on up. I'm coming over, and don't be acting like you don't remember me.
Yeah, you're in the right place. This is another episode of the What If TWS podcast. Once again, I am J. Dot Flynn doing my solo thing on this new series. This is part two of Evening with Flynn, The Road to Recovery. I don't know to catch you up on part one. Basically, wife and I aren't living together. She made the decision to leave and take my daughter with her, and this has all been a result of my drinking and my lying about said drinking. So I decided to start doing these podcasts to kind of chronicle my path to sobriety, and also hopefully the path to restoring my family. So yeah, I mean, that's the gist of what this show is. Like I said, I don't know how often I'm gonna do these episodes. I don't know how many episodes they're gonna be. This is just me talking through one of the hardest times in my life, and I share because I care. I figure if I put out there what I'm going through, maybe, just maybe, somebody can relate and they can help them out as well. So with that said, let's get into the episode. So I don't know. Happy birthday to me. yeah, this is going to be posted on my birthday. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not in a big celebratory mood. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not feeling like celebrating this birthday. I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, at the end of the day, I'm alive another year. And with, you know, with some of the things I've been doing, some of the decisions I've been making, that's quite an accomplishment. So, I do need to celebrate the fact that I'm still here. But yeah, you know, my birthday will be tomorrow. I probably will see my daughter. I definitely will see my daughter and my wife. You know, she was reaching out to me today to find out, you know, what we might want to do. And I just, you know, I said, when I know at the end of the night I'm going home and they going someplace else, you know, like, just the whole celebration aspect of it seems hollow. So, for the most part, it'll just be another day. But I guess I do. I'm just recognizing that it is my birthday. I don't know. Fuck it though. To catch y'all up on what I've been up to, I think the last time we spoke, I was getting ready to fly out, head back home for Thanksgiving. You know, I did make my flight. I did get out there. Again, my wife and I stayed at two different places. I got my daughter a lot while I was there. You know, I was able to spend a lot of time with her, and really enjoyed that. You know, being a dad is my greatest accomplishment at this point in my life. It's the thing I'm probably most proud of. And so, you know, just getting a chance to be dad again and to have my daughter was great. Not that my wife has been keeping her away from me. I've been able to spend a lot of time with my daughter since all this has happened, and I'm very, very thankful for that. But yeah, Thanksgiving went off without a hitch. You know, no real issues. Again, and what I was saying, you know, in the last episode, was that I knew that it was me. Like, it was mostly me. It was the way I was looking at myself, not really the way that anybody else was looking at me, and that was creating the tension and some of the anxiety going into the holiday. But no issues. It was all love. You know, spent time with my family, spent time with her family, and everything was great. So all in all, it was a good trip. you know, just coming back home. You know, I almost fooled myself a little bit. You know, my wife and I, you know, had some nice moments together, and you know, I fooled myself a little bit into thinking that maybe, you know, when she came back, when she flew back, because I flew back earlier than her, that when she flew back, you know, she would come back home. And so I kind of had to deal with, you know, I set myself up for disappointment, and I kind of had to deal with that a little bit. But I'm good. I'm past that. You know, I've been feeling a lot better recently. Part of it has had to do, and this is where I'm having a little bit of a dilemma. Part of it has had to do, my sister put me on. She on to this, you know, holistic stuff and these herbs and eating right and all that good stuff. So she put me on to this this thing called Kava Kava. So it's supposed to be like, I don't know, it's supposed to be something to help you relax. Some people say they serve it at parties. It's like a tea or something like that. Some people say they serve it at parties in place of alcohol. And it's a mood enhancer, I guess, is the way it's been described to me. So I tried the tea when I was at home with her, and you know, I don't really think I felt any of the effects of it. But I found a kava bar down here in Austin. Oh man, what is the name? I can't even think of the name of the spot. I would shout them out right now. But I tried that spot last week, and I'm a little conflicted. Like, you know, on one end of the spectrum, like, it's not alcohol, and if it's something that's gonna help me stay away from alcohol, you know, maybe it's a good thing. But then at the other end, I'm thinking, like, am I just trading one substance for another and not really addressing the issue? But now I am going to meetings and you know, planning it to go to some treatment. So, you know, hopefully I will be addressing the main issue. But yeah, I'm not sure about including this Kava Kava in my recovery. I have to say, you know, I went to the spot, and it was way different at the spot. Like, my sister gave me like some tea. It was like herbal tea, whatever. It made your tongue numb or whatever, but no biggie. This shit at the real like Kava spot was like, it was mud, man. It looked like they put dirt in a cup. They put dirt, and not even a cup, they put dirt in a coconut shell and then pour water on top of it and switched it around a little bit and gave it to you. It tasted like dirt with water in it. Like, it tasted like mud. It was a little thinner. It wasn't like thick like mud, but it was just, it tasted like, they call it earthy. It tastes like dirt. Like, isn't that the same thing? Earthy and dirt. Like, it tasted just like dirt. And it definitely, like, you know, tongue, lips, everything went numb. And I do think I walked out of there, you know, it reminded me, and I think that's why it scares me so much, because it reminded me a lot of being in a bar. And I used to love being in a bar. It's like, I just loved the sitting at the bar and other people at the bar doing the same thing that you're doing. Like, you know, it felt like you was at home. You was around your own. You was around your constituents. You was around, you know, people all out to do the same thing that you was out to do. And I didn't socialize a lot at the bar. I normally have like headphones on and would just, you know, vibe out to myself. But I used to love being there, and it kind of, you know, reminded me of that. And you know, there's that part of me that's like, I need to separate from all of that. Like, I don't need to find legal or more healthy ways, because I wasn't doing nothing illegal, but more healthy ways to do the same things I was doing before. I need to break out of those habits completely. And maybe, you know, the fact that this reminds me of you know, something I was doing that wasn't healthy is a bad thing. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. I even bought some of their Kava e-liquid, which is not really an enjoyable vape, but you know, I'm searching for that that feeling, you know what I mean? So I don't know. As I'm saying it now, like, it really sounds like, you know, something I shouldn't be doing. Like, I really shouldn't be moving on to just another substance, even if it's not as destructive as the substance, you know, I was dealing with before. So maybe I'll talk through it. There it is. I don't know. I'll keep y'all up to date on my Kava experiments. What else been going on? It's fantasy playoff time. I have to say, I did 5 leagues this year. Right now, I'm in the playoffs in 4 of them. I have another league that I think we still have another week to go in our regular season. And I'm like way out of a playoff position. So I need like a miracle or something to make the playoffs in that one. But miracles happen. Miracles do happen. So we'll see what happens with that. But man, I picked up Josh Gordon, and it felt symbolic. Like if I want people to believe I'm worthy of another chance, if I want people to believe that, you know, I fucked up like a lot, a lot, and it took like losing everything to get me to stop fucking up, or to take seriously not fucking up. Then I gotta tell you, I gotta give this kid a shot. Like, you know, I guess I can relate to a lot of his story. Not a lot of it. Like, I ain't grew up the way he grew up, and I wasn't selling weed in college. But, you know, some of the other stuff, you know, I can see how, you know, just something has such a hold on you that with everything going right for you, you know, you choose to do this, the one thing that's gonna take it all away from you. But he says he's good now. And I want to believe him because I want people to believe me. So Josh Gordon is on my fantasy roster in a couple leagues. We'll see if he can be my savior, get me through these playoffs, get me back on a good championship run. I'm trying to win the league that I am commissioner of for the first time. But I got to play my arch nemesis in the first round. So I've been bugging out about that a little bit. Like, try not to overthink it, but fuck it though. Come on, Josh. Take me to the promised land. I also read an article today about Clinton Portis saying that he used to drink Hennessy with other Redskins before games. Like, man, like you know, now that I'm active in my recovery and, you know, being around other people that, you know, are doing the same thing, it is amazing how, like, universal, like, this thing is. Like, it touches so many people and, you know, from athletes to, you know, just everybody. Like, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, you when I came to this realization that I had this problem, you know, you start to look at yourself a different way. Like, I'm not the person I thought I was. I'm not this good dude that I thought I was. I'm this other person. I'm this other thing. I'm less than what I thought I was. And then when you start getting around folks, you realize, like, nah, like, you know, you just have this problem. And a lot of people have this problem. More people than admit they have the problem. And it can be worked through. I can come out of this on the right side. So there's a lot of hope. There's been a lot of hope in the times that's passed since we last talked, right? I do have a lot of hope. So while I was at home for Thanksgiving, my sister and I, so my family, to give y'all a little history, I think you've seen the episodes, not seen, you heard the episode with my mom in it, and I think you've heard me talk about my mother on episodes with Tammy, and we debate. Like, that's what we do. Like, if you're around us and you don't know any better, like, you might get nervous because it's going to get loud. It's going to get, you know, somewhat heated. We believe in the things we believe in. I think that's across the board. Like, I used to think it was just me, but across the board in my family, like, there's things that we don't care about. Like, could give a fuck about. And then there's like 3-4 things per person that are like their pressure points, like they're passionate about. And if you get in a discussion with this person about any of these topics, it's going to go further than you expected it to go. And my sister and I had one of those discussions. We were talking about like black media and you know, with where I am right now in my relationship, where I've been with relationships, and where I am right now in my relationship, I'm very sensitive about like watching certain shows. Like I'm a person that can't really separate myself from what I'm watching on the screen. Like, I don't go to horror movies because I can't. I put myself in that place, and then I'm going crazy. I'm having a heart attack in the movie theater because I can't like look at that and say that it's just a movie. Like, I'm in it. And I'm also extremely sensitive about like watching shows that deal with infidelity or cheating or promiscuity, because I've had issues in relationships, and right now, you know, my wife and I aren't living together. Like, you know, the last thing I need to do is be watching a show about, you know, a disgruntled wife, you know, finding comfort in another man's arms. Like, that's gonna drive me fucking insane. So I get upset sometimes about like black media, because I feel like so many of our shows or so many of our depictions in media, even if they're not like black shows, I just like these oversexed, like we make our heroes these, you know, these oversexed, you know, either, you know, cheaters or promiscuous for no reason. Like, we put sex in their character when it has nothing to do with who their character is. Like they could still be the same character and we have no knowledge of their sex life, but we have to have knowledge of their sex life for some reason. That's how, that shit bothers me. And my sister and I went back and forth, you know, about a couple shows. Like, I don't watch Insecure, I don't watch Power, I don't watch Scandal, I don't watch Empire. I can't, you name it, I probably don't watch it. Like I said, I was a big fan of the Carmichael Show. I'm really sad that show is gone. I had high hopes for that show. And I guess that's what I want to see on TV. But that was what my sister was asking me. It got to the point where it's like, you complain so much about what you don't want to see. Like, what do you want to see? And, you know, now I'm in a position. Well, I'm not in a position, but, you know, I quote unquote have my own multimedia company. Like, this is supposed to be my goal is to create new content and bring what I want to see to the world. And it's like, well, first I got to figure out what it is I want to see. If I know what I don't want to see, but what do I want to see? And that just really struck a chord with me. Like, my sister, she caught me with that one. I had nowhere to go. It's like, I'm telling you what I don't want. You know, I'm coming with all the problems. You know, where's the solution? So I'm going to be thinking about that a lot. I think that's definitely one of the things I can focus on to keep my, you know, my mind from drifting certain places and going certain places. I've been trying to stay very busy, have something to do or plan for every day, you know, not a lot of idle time, because, you know, for the most part in my idle time, I'm by myself. And being by myself is a dangerous thing. But and it's not because, you know, I don't have people around me. I just really have like dug into this hermit life. Like, I just, you know, I don't feel like talking. Like, this is the most talking I do, talking to myself, talking to y'all. But yeah, I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like rehashing what's going on or whatever, getting a pep talk. Like, you know, shit is fucked up and it's my fault. And I got work to do. And we'll see if I can get past it. The recurring theme that I've picked up on all of the things I've been doing in my recovery so far is this idea that we have to, not have to, but what's best for me is to let go of this thought that I can somehow control the outcome of this situation. That if I do these things, then she'll come back. Or if I do, you know, if I can just show her, you know, I can fix it. I can fix it. And I have to realize that no, you know, I don't necessarily have the power to control. I don't have the power to control the outcome. What I need to do, what I have the power to control, is, you know, my efforts toward being a better person and toward being a better father and, you know, if given the opportunity, a better husband. My job right now has to be to put forth the effort, to put forth as much effort as I possibly can, to muster all the strength that I have to towards getting better. And getting better, not with the expectation of a specific reward at the end of the tunnel. The reward has to just be, I'm better. The reward can't be, she comes back. You know, that can't be what I'm working toward. I got to just be working toward getting better for the sake of getting better. And then not put these carrots in front of me and say that this is what I want. Like, this is what I'm going for. That I have to let that go and put that in a higher power's hand. God, whatever you want to call it, I got to put forth the effort and I got to let the universe, God, the higher power decide the outcome. You know, I have to let go of that sense of control. And that's been like from everything that I'm learning, that is the step that feels the scariest and the hardest to accept so far. Like, you know, I never really saw myself as a control freak, but the thought of being in a situation and relinquishing complete control to the universe, like, you know, God, is one of the scariest endeavors of my life. And I'm trying to get to the point where I can accept that, and I can live every day just putting forth maximum effort, believing that, you know, I'll be taken care of. You know, that, you know, the good will come to me, whatever the good is. I can't choose what the good is. I can't decide what the good is. But if I put forth the maximum effort that I possibly can toward being the best person that I can be on a daily basis, that the good will come to me. And I don't have to know what that is ahead of time. So that's the scary shit, man. Like, I'm trying to woosah, you know what I mean? I'm trying to accept it and let go. I never really thought of things in these terms, that I was holding on to stuff so tightly, because I thought I could control it. You know, I thought I was, you know, I thought I was so smart that, you know, I got outwit the universe. I don't know. Some deep shit. You heard that? All right. So, man, I think I'm going to go straight into Flan's advice for this episode. Again, you know, Mom always taught me that a smart man can learn from his own mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. So, hey, I'm a pro at mistakes. I'm going to share them with you, and hopefully you can learn from my mistakes. I'm dropping wisdom here. All right. So, I mean, we've all heard the cliche, you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And I think, you know, and in some sense, we've all experienced it. If it be we were the person that somebody lost, and then, you know, watch them realize what we were to them, or, you know, what our value was when it's too late. Or if you've lost someone and then didn't realize their value until it was too late. I think we've all done it in some way, shape, or form. So it's amazing that it continues to happen. Like, no matter how many times we hear that phrase, no matter how many times it happens to you or somebody loses you, it's like we still end up in that spot. And that's where I am now, where, you know, as I, like, you know, look at my life and just the little things that are missing because my wife isn't here. It's like, you know, why did it take it not being there for me to acknowledge it or appreciate it? You know, why couldn't I see it and appreciate it when it was there? You know, and I'm talking about, like, simple stuff from, you know, just her presence helping me get up, get out the bed and get to work every morning. Or, you know, the way I would, you know, reach over in the middle of the night just to feel that she was there, and that could calm me down if I was having, you know, a bad dream or feeling some sort of anxiety about a certain situation. I mean, just to having somebody to talk to share your life with, you know, all the moments, to know that if you came home and had a hard day, there's somebody at home that wants to hear about it. Like you really, you know, So I encourage people to, you know, to take inventory of your life, take inventory of the people in your life, and start looking at them, you know, for what they are to you. And don't wait until they're gone, you lose them, you know, be it, you know, death or, you know, my situation, whatever it is. Like, don't wait. Learn to appreciate people. Try to appreciate people on a daily basis. Just, you know, maybe I think that should be my goal from now on, is to just find something about somebody on a daily basis and, you know, tell them I appreciate it. See, this podcast is really working for me. I don't know what it's doing for y'all, but it's working for me. I sit here and talk this stuff out, and I come up with dope ass ideas like that one. I think that's what I'm gonna do. Like, from now on a daily basis, you know, find something about somebody that means something to me and let them know about it every day. I think that'll help me see all the good that I have around me, all of the support and love that I have around me. And it'll just let those people know that they are appreciated. And sometimes it's a little, sometimes thank you goes a long way, you know. I used to tell my wife, like, men are easy. We do something, and you like, man, baby, thank you. You the best trash taker outer ever. Like, oh, man, that's like giving a dog a bone. Like, you know what, I'm going to take trash out tomorrow. She seemed to like that shit when I take the trash out. So that's what I need to learn. That's what I need to do. My other piece of advice goes back to my flight to DC. And I've said this before on the What Is TWS, y'all, regular podcast. So I'm on a flight. It's like a 4-hour flight from, where was I flying? From Dallas to DC. And I don't know who it was. It had to be somebody like in my vicinity, but somebody was busting their ass repeatedly on this flight. Now, you just be sitting there, I'm reading books on my tablet, or I'm playing video games or whatever, and then just the smell would just, it's right there. And they had to be real close to me, because they were still warm when they got to my nose. Like, it was still like hot. Like, yeah, I don't know if it was the dude, I wasn't hearing nothing, so they was all silent but deadly. But this is all I'm saying to you people: we too old. There wasn't no kids on that plane. We too old to not know what foods fuck your stomach up, you know. And if you're gonna be on an enclosed space like that for 4 hours, don't eat that thing that's gonna have you busting your ass for 4 hours. Don't be too old for this shit. Like, stop doing it. Don't do it at work. Don't eat that thing that's gonna make you go in the bathroom and fuck it up for everybody in the office. If you get on a plane, don't eat that thing that's gonna fuck it up for everybody on the flight. You know what I mean? Like, you're taking a bus, whatever it is. If you got to be somewhere, you're in a meeting, you got to be somewhere and you got to be there for a long time. Be courteous. Be respectful of the people around you. Appreciate the people around you and the air that they breathe. And don't do these things. We too old. And if you don't, like, don't eat nothing new before you get on the plane. Like, okay, so maybe you don't know that this thing is going to fuck you up because you ain't never had it before. But that ain't the time to try it. Right before you get on the plane, ain't the time to have that particular food. And then if you find yourself like letting them joints go, because I know the person that was doing it had to smell it. If you find yourself letting them joints go repeatedly like that, there is a bathroom on the plane. Go handle the situation. Don't just fuck up the entire 4-hour flight. And then like just random, like, just had me living in fear for 4 hours. Like, I just never knew when the next one was gonna hit. You're fucking terrorists. Fuck terrorists on the plane. Where are the air marshals when you need them? Like, that shit fucked me up. So again, people, too grown to be not knowing your gastrointestinal system. Be respectful of the people around you. With that said, again, thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for, you know, walking with me on this journey. And until the next time, be the light and be safe. Appreciate you.